Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, I'm Ryan Fitch, and this is the Coast to Coast Radio Show. And today, we're going to talk, this is week one of the NFL season, and it's the same old Jets, same old Cardinals, and same old Patriots. Some things never change. I wish they would, because I do admire I'm not a Jet fan, but I admire their Jet organization. I always hope that they do well, but it seems like they make the same old mistakes year after year after year after year. Same old way they lose year after year after years and years and years. If you're a Jet fan, if you have any hair, you're ready to pull it out. I'm going to get to that. Then I'm going to get to the Patriots being the Cardinals and the Cardinals being goofy. And the Cardinals, that's what they do. They've been doing that for 70 years of being goofy and bad luck, bad fortune, stupid plays, talented teams. And we'll get to that. We'll get to the Patriots, why they win and why they're disciplined and all that stuff. We're going to talk about the Giants and the Cowboys. We may have a Cowboy caller call in. He says he's not going to panic after the loss to the Giants. We're going to get into my sleeper teams that won, too. My sleeper playoff teams. But first, the Jets in Cincinnati. The way the Jets started, they started like a house of fire. The first drive of the game, boom, boom, Sam Marshall, Decker, they're running the ball well. Forte, who had 96 yards rushing, goes down the field. They score 7-0. Their defense was electrifying. I believe they had 7 sacks. Muhammad Wilkerson, and McClendon, they were terrific. And they're getting heat on Andy Dalton. It's 7-0. And then the Jets move down the field again, and they're ready to make it 14-0. They're moving the ball. It seemed like the Cincinnati Bengals were shook. And the Jets are really, with the momentum they had, and football is a game of momentum. And the momentum they had, they were ready to go up 14-0 and maybe lay the hammer down with the crowd on top of everything and the crowd excited. The Jets are ready to put them away, but they miss the field goals. And then Cincinnati kind of gets their bearing by driving down the field, gets a field goal, 6-for-8, 65 yards. They don't score, but they just stabilize the game. Then they get the ball back, and A.J. Green, who had 180 yards receiving, caught a 54-yard touchdown pass on Andy Reid. He had burned Darrell Revis, but Darrell Revis was looking back for safety help. But he had burned Darrell Revis a couple other times in this game. But that's not the reason the Jets won, and I'll get to that in a minute. The Bengals were up 10-7. The Jets come back with a field goal. It's a battle of field goals until Jeremy Hill. The Bengals drive down the field, and Jeremy Hill runs over everybody. He didn't have a great game, but that was a good run, 12-yard run in the end zone, 20-16. Here come the Jets, getting a field goal. And then, you know what, I remiss. Wait a minute. Yes, they got a field goal to take the lead. And then they had another field goal. But they had missed the field goal and missed the extra point. And with the score 20-19, the Bengals leading, the Jets had a 9-play, 52-yard drive that took up 5 minutes. And if they score, they make the score 26-22. And I do not think the way the Jets defense was playing, there was no way. After the Bengals had missed a field goal, and they have a good field goal kicker in Nugent, he was going to miss again. So if you play the percentages, it's 3rd-and-3, and they run the ball up the middle instead of throwing the ball to either Decker or Marshall, and they didn't do it, and the Jets didn't score. They had to settle for a field goal, which took the lead, but in my heart, I knew the Bengals were going to win because now all they need is a field goal. And they drove down the field, 9 plays, 55 yards, using up most of the clock. And A.J. Green catching the ball. They're single covering him. I don't know what the concept was with Jeremy Green with the main guy. Well, had some good catches. But without Mohamed Sanu, who's gone, and Marvin Jones, who's gone, their best pass catcher. Tyler Eifert out of the game. So all you have is A.J. Green. A.J. Green's the only guy that hurts you. Down the field, really, really Jets. He's the only guy. You don't put, like, three guys on him at the end of the game. You put Revis and maybe double or have a safety over the top. Maybe have a linebacker underneath if you have a zone coverage. Even in the time you want to pay complete attention to A.J. Green at the end of the game, you allow Andy Dalton to go down the field with A.J. Green for the last field goal. That's how you lose. And then, you know, they don't really have a lot of time, so they kind of got a rush. And then Fitzpatrick throws the interception. But I'm not going to put that in him. I'm going to put that on the offensive coordinator for not showing killer instinct and going for the kill shot. I know you had a field goal to play with to get the lead, but a touchdown, I think, secures the game because they're not – the Jet defense was going to let Cincinnati score. But Cincinnati moved the ball down the field for a field goal, and they lost. And the Jets outgained them, they outplayed them, and they lost. And this is the kind of losses that the Jets have endured for 45 years of this. And they've had some really good teams, good coaches, Parcells, you got Todd Bowles, but they just can't slay that dragon. And that's the problem. And if for the Jets to ever win a Super Bowl, there's going to have to be a game where they're in trouble and lose, almost like the Red Sox when they came back from the Yankees down 3-0. They need a curse-breaking game in the playoffs. They have to get there and then get to the Super Bowl. If they do that, they can finally get that elusive championship. But I don't know. I don't think so far. The Patriots and Cardinal game, you know, the every big third down in this game, Garoppolo got for the Patriots. And they didn't have Gronk. They didn't have Brady. But they got the job done. They were able to move down the field and take the lead when the Cardinals came back. And Carson Palmer brought him down the field. Fitzgerald was terrific. But then they missed the field goal. And at the end of the game, they rushed the field goal. First of all, there would have been more time not to rush if on a third down they don't have a roughing the passer on Garoppolo, and that allowed New England to get more another first down, take up more clock, and then finally kick the field goal and take the lead. But that was a ridiculous penalty where they could have stopped them and had more time where you didn't have to rush. But they rushed the kick and they missed it, and they lose it home to the Patriots without Brady and Gronk. And that's basically the Cardinals, and that's basically the Patriots. The Cardinals, even though they got to NFC Championship, Carson Palmer implodes. They get two playoff games. They got the Super Bowl, and then they give up not the great pass from Roethlisberger to Santonio Holmes. It was the screen pass that netted about 40 yards where the defender slips. That's typical Cardinals. That's who they are. They just can't get out of their way in big moments. And I can't trust them, and I can't trust Carson Palmer. He played good, but I still don't trust them. And the Patriots are disciplined. So one guy's out, next man up. Brady's out, because they wouldn't love to fight without Brady. Brady's out, you put Garoppolo. You can put me in the game, give me two knee braces. I can't throw the ball about 15 yards. That's the furthest I could throw it. And Belichick would be like, listen, we're just going to run five-yard patterns because we got Ron Pitch in the game. And we'll just play defense and run the ball. And I'm just game playing around his strength. And in their way, and that's how disciplined they are. And to beat New England, you have to play against tendencies. They have New England, and this is a staple of New England, I'm telling you, strategy-wise. You can drive on the field on them, but near the goal line, they always blitz. They don't blitz a lot, but they blitz not for the purpose of sacking you, but for the purpose of you making a mistake. And their receivers, their quarterbacks jump routes by the goal line. That's why you see them get a lot of interceptions by the goal line. They did that in the Super Bowl when Pichel stupidly could have ran Marshawn Lynch and won the Super Bowl and didn't. And they knew that route. They knew Seattle loved that little crossing route. So they played tendency. You have to break tendency. You have to get a ton of pressure on the quarterbacks to beat them. And anytime New England has lost, they've lost a lot of games to the Jets. The Jets avoid the pressure on them, and they break tendency. And I can see the Jets losing to the Bills and beating the Patriots. That's just kind of the way the Jets are. Now, I'm going to talk about the Giant game, the Giants and Cowboys. Very impressed with Dak Prescott. I thought he was solid. My only problem was they were pretty basic. And they did drive the ball a lot, but it was a lot of field goals in this game. They drove the ball down twice for two field goals, taking up time. And then the Giants just bing-bang, Odell Beckham long pass. Donald scores a touchdown, 7-6. Dak Prescott drove them down to make it 9-7, but then the Giants were scoring a touchdown. So Manning throws a long pass to Cruz, and then Shepard makes a great catch. Shepard's going to be a great receiver. Between Shepard, Cruz, and Beckham, they're really dangerous. And Jennings ran the ball pretty well up the middle. If Jennings could give them that bounce, the Giants could be scary offensively. Now, the line is average, but Manning knows how to navigate through the line. I think the Giants will be just fine with that. The Giants, I believe they're going to win the division without a doubt in my mind. And they slowed down Ezekiel Elliott, who ran well, but then Spagnuolo understood what Dallas was trying to do. Now, there was a bad pick by Manning that was the receiver's fault, and Dallas took advantage of that and took the lead 16-13. Then he moved the ball again for another field goal to make it 19-13. But then the Giant D stepped up, gave their offense a short field by understanding what Dak Prescott was doing. There was a lot of bootlegs, a lot of runs, a lot of play action, a lot of rollouts, a lot of basic stuff because Dak Prescott is still a rookie. So the Giants and Spagnuolo figured it out, flooded the zones, made him throw deep because he's not really a good deep ball thrower. And they were able to get off the field and make Dallas punt more, and they slowed him down. And then with the short field, Eli Manning drives down the field. Shane Vereen was running the ball really well in his drive. And then Victor Cruz, who was hurt for basically 2 years, comes back with a touchdown. He does a salsa dance. It was like old times. And the Giants had the ball with a chance to run the clock out. And they had a chance on third down and 10. Jennings was running for the first down, and J.J. Wilcox plastered him to stop the Giants. And there's a little bit of time left. The Cowboys have, I guess, 54 seconds left to go the length of the field with no timeouts. They're moving the ball, but they just didn't have enough time. And then Terrence Williams inexplicably doesn't run the ball out of bounds. Instead of trying to go for the first down, third down, 10, he should have ran out of bounds. It would have been like a 62-yard kick, and the way Kaufman was kicking, he may have nailed it. I just think you take a chance. He wasn't thinking. They lost. Giants win. It was a great road win for the Giants. Giants and Cowboys always play tough games. They always play each other tough. They always play each other the first game of the year. I thought that was a great win for the Giants. Now my two sleeper playoff teams. First, the Oakland Raiders. They go to New Orleans, down two scores. Come back to tie the game. New Orleans come back to score. That's 35-28. Here comes Carr. Throwing a touchdown pass. And what I love is they go for the two-point conversion instead of letting Brees go down and beat him or losing the Brees in overtime. Crabtree, great fade route. Carr to Crabtree. Touchdown, Oakland. New Orleans comes down, don't have enough time to really get a good opportunity for a kick. They had to take a long field goal attempt. They lose. Misses the kick. Oakland wins. And that will jumpstart Oakland to make a playoff run. They're not beating the Broncos. See, they're the big boys in AFC. They showed why they're the big boys. They're contenders. The Cincinnati, New England, and Denver all took care of business in tight games, and they showed you why they're contenders. I don't know about my Steelers yet. Yeah, I want to see what happens in Washington before I put them up there with the big boys. If they lose, they're a playoff team like the Raiders and Jets and other teams. If they win, I'm going to put them up there with the big boys. Let's see. I want to see this new secondary to see if they can do something with and this new pass rush to see if they can slow down Cousins. Because Cousins could be really good and he could be really terrible. He reminds me of a guy named Dave Craig who used to play for Seattle in the 80s and 90s. Either he's good or he's terrible. And if you're still thinking, you hope you get the terrible Cousins or you put pressure on him. It's a tough road game, but you got to win it because the rest of the schedule is tough. because you got Cincinnati next week. Don't want to go 0-2. Don't want to be 1-1. You want to be 1-0 going into the Cincinnati game at home, because Cincinnati is a good defensive team. They're a pretty good offensive team. They're missing pieces, but the Jets really threw that game away. They could have put the game away. They didn't. They were just being who the Jets are, unfortunately. And I actually think that the Detroit Lions could be a good team, too. Oh, we got a call. Hello, the Coast to Coast Radio Show with Ron Fisher calling. What's going on?
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I see you're a golf fan. How are you doing, Mr. Cowboys fans?
I'm okay. Thanks for asking. How are you?
Listen, I'm okay. I am actually a therapist when I do a show. When your team loses, I'm here for you. So I'm here. You lost. It was a tight game. How do you feel right now?
I feel great, and I'm going to tell you why. Last week when I was riding to work every morning and listening to different sports updates and things of that nature, they actually had the Dallas Cowboys out. And I was very, very optimistic. I really didn't know what to expect, to be honest with you, because, you know, preseason is preseason. But
yes,
I must say that Prescott looked awesome right there. He looks like a well-seasoned veteran. He looks very comfortable. He didn't panic. And, I mean, Zeke, he did a good job. You know, I don't recall any fumbles. I just want to say hats off to the Dallas Cowboys and what we have going and what we have to look forward to. I believe Prescott is our future.
I want to tell you what I love about Prescott, and I'm going to tell you what I'm a little concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
I love his IQ. I love his ability to process information, because you have to, in this day and age as a quarterback, you have to be able to process the information to know your progression. If your one guy isn't open, the second option isn't open, you have to progress to the third. He can do all that. He has the brain. He has the command. I see leadership skills in him, and your offense is out. Standing with the line and Dez and all those guys. His defense played a little better. My one concern, and I've watched him since – I watched him at Mississippi State from his freshman year to his senior year. So I have a pretty good sample size of Dak Prescott. He, from 20 yards in, he is a terrific thrower. Anything other than that, he's not as accurate. And my only concern going forward is your really good defensive coordinators – will flood the zones and dare him to throw deep like the Giants started to do at the end of the game, and he wasn't as accurate. If he can improve that, oh, you got a future. If he doesn't, I'm not sure. You can still win if your defense – you get guys coming back and your defense improves. You can overcome any of his deficiencies as a rookie and also not as a good thrower. But you have to be encouraged by his brain. That's what I like about him, his ability to think the game out.
Yes, yes, and I do agree. One thing, as if you notice, he don't have a favorite target. He don't mind sharing the ball, throwing it around the field. He did throw it downfield a few times to Dez. Unfortunately, they were unable to actually connect, and I think with more time, that will happen. Dez still remain a threat. Beasley look good. You got the well-seasoned veteran, Jason Witten. So, I mean, we have some repertoire. We looked and saw Terrence Williams with some action yesterday. So, you know, we're going to do it. And despite all the naysayers. And
you mean you're going to do it as far as you're going to make the wild card? Because I got the Jaguars in the division, dude. Now, if you want to say you want to be a wild card, that's fine. I can't let you eat at the main table. You can eat at the other table. You can't eat at the dining table. That's reserved for the Giants. Okay.
For Giants to be a well-oiled machine as they supposedly be, the veteran quarterback has to look more like the rookie quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Against our against our underrated defense. And I'm saying underrated.
I agree to a point, but I disagree because Manning took them down the field. They were getting touchdowns.
Yes.
You're getting field goals.
Yes.
And Manning was getting touchdowns.
Yes.
That 50-yard drive was money because it was that running and then Cruz, then the bomb to Peckham. He had a bad interception, but now from what I heard, it was the receiver's fault. So
here's the thing.
I mean, he was okay.
We're missing our defensive core. We're missing our defensive back.
You got a chance for revenge. Now, my question, are you going to get revenge when you play this game in the Meadowlands? Okay. I believe the Giants are winning. Listen, we got plenty of time to talk about that, and I believe the Giants are going to win that game, too. But now, if you win, you call in, and I got to issue a public apology with my fans and everything. You have to call in, and I have to address you. And if the Cowboys win, I'll be like, I apologize. You were right and I was wrong, and I really want to do that.
Okay, yeah, we'll see. We'll see in a few weeks. And
I don't want to sit here and have a humble pie session on my own show where a caller calls in and I got to sit and apologize to a caller. But I believe the Giants are going to win, you're going to believe the Cowboys are going to win. We're going to see. Somebody is going to call in and admit they were wrong. Well, something's got to give on that one.
Is this yours, you said?
No.
No, I mean, if you walk into the Meadowlands and win, I mean, hey, I got to do a mea culpa. I'm sorry, you were right, I was wrong. I don't intend to do that.
Yeah, you might have to eat humble pie.
Well, I'm gonna let you go. I hope you feel better. You let all the Cowboy fans know everything is just fine.
Mm-hmm. No, I feel good about yesterday's game. Like I said, they played well beyond what I expected.
Mm-hmm. But that's fine. Well, listen, I got to let you go because now we're going to talk about college football and the TCU Horned Frogs that I picked. Speaking of humble pie, I thought the TCU Horned Frogs would win the Big 12 because they got home games with, I believe, Baylor in Oklahoma. So they have the big games at home. They had Arkansas at home. I knew it would be a little tougher because Arkansas had a horrible loss to a mid-level Division I team. But this game, and I'm going to tell you what really burned me up about this game. TCU didn't come to play to start the game. So they're down. They're really getting trounced. They're really starting out slow. But then they make a comeback. They're down 20-7. And then they make this miraculous comeback. They actually outscore Arkansas 21-8 in the fourth quarter. You'd think at home you'd win a game like that. And they're driving. And it is, let me see what the score was. It was 20-14 Arkansas. And they tie the score up. I mean, they go up. And they take the lead, 28-21. Because Jeremy Hill scores a 5-yard run. He had over 300 yards, almost 400 yards passing. So he should be the hero. Jeremy Hill, and not a lot of time left, he scores. It's 28-21. What does he do in the end zone? A throat-splashing gesture. Now, he had scored before and did a throat-slashing gesture, got away with it. But no, he's got to do it again. And they flag him for unsportsmanlike conduct. They have to kick the ball off to the 20-yard line. So now, Arkansas, with not a lot of time left, no timeouts left, instead of going to long field where they really don't have time, the clock of time's going around, TCU wins the game. But no, this guy has to do a throat-slashing gesture. And they kick the ball off the short field. Arkansas gets the ball near midfield to start. And Jared Allen, who was terrific, drives him down the field. They tie the game up. And then in overtime, Arkansas scores a touchdown. And TCU gets a field goal. And they lose at home. And that's it. They're done. They're playing. If they win the Big 12, if Houston goes undefeated, and the SEC team gets in, ACC team gets in, and the Big Ten team gets in, either Houston or Stanford from the Pac-12 will get in. They're gonna leave TCU out. Oklahoma could still get in if they run the table. But TCU loses to Arkansas because Arkansas lost to a lower-level team. It is bad. It's bad. Now, Arkansas is good. I don't know what happened the first week. But they're going to be a pain in the neck in the SEC West. They're going to be very, very, very difficult to handle. The Alabamas and the Auburns and the Ole Miss, be careful. Because they Brett Bielema's team can go on the road and win, too. I see them go on the road and beat Ole Miss. Now they got Ole Miss at their place. And now beating TCU or TCU gives them confidence. I don't know what happens if they make a run. They probably still get in because they have so much respect for the SEC. But they don't have as much respect for the Big 12. And I love the Big 12, but this was bad. Then Oklahoma State losing to Central Michigan on a last-second pass at home. The guy catches the ball at the 5 on a Hail Mary shovels it back, and they score, and they lose. So the Big 12 took it. Everybody talked about SEC being overrated. Maybe the Big 12 was overrated. And these lower-level teams are really taking advantage. So Troy almost beat Clemson. So it's an epidemic in all the big colleges struggling with the lower-level, mid-level, mid-majors who are really have some pretty good diamond-in-the-rough kind of players. So you can't really sleep on these teams. And they do, and they pay for it, and then they pay for it in the rankings. I like what Michigan did. They beat UCF 51-14. Don't mess around with these teams. Go out and destroy them. And Clemson almost cost them their season. And Clemson has to be careful. They haven't been unimpressive in two games. Oh, we have a caller. Hey, this is Coast Coast Radio, Ron Fitch. We have 3 minutes left. Who is this?
Rob Page, Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, brother. Now, listen, we got 3 minutes left, and I know I'm going to try to have you as my Eagles correspondent. I'm going to work that out. But listen, don't call my show talking a lot of foolishness about the New York Giants being sorry, okay?
Listen, let me tell you
something.
You call
them the little Giants, they're going to win the division.
The little Giants, that's what they are.
Huh?
That's what they are. Turnover prone.
The Eagles are going to
win the division.
Really? First of all, and I know the Eagles beat the Giants twice, and they kind of had their number. You're not beating them this year. And I like the Eagles. I saw it. Even though they beat a team, they pretty much beat Camden Wilson yesterday. I still saw things I did like about the Eagles. And we're gonna talk about this the following show. Next Monday, I don't have a lot of time, but next week you're going to call in. Me and you're going to have a debate on this. But you think the Giants aren't good? I think the Giants are going to win the division. You think the Eagles are going to win the division? Save that thought, because next week you're calling in earlier, and then you're going to get it on, okay?
Yes, we are. We're going to get it on.
Okay, go Eagles. Okay, and you got the Eagles winning the division. I got the Giants winning the division. But I'm going to tell you next week why you're wrong, so you better be ready for a debate.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready. New quarterback,
it.
New life. New life in Philadelphia.
There is new life in Philadelphia. Okay.
New life in Philadelphia.
You know,
Sixers,
listen,
Eagles.
Next week,
new
life. Next week, man, I got you, but next week, man, you're going to get it on, buddy.
We're going to get it on. Yes, we are.
Okay. That was my man, Robert Page. He's my Philadelphia correspondent. Next Saturday is nothing but great college football matchup, so I'm looking forward to doing that show. Come on, people.